The NBA regular season has finally come to an end, and we have an amazing play-in suite, amazing play-off suite. Let's get into foul trouble. What a weekend.
What a weekend. I loved how they did the last day of games.
Yeah.
Have they done that?
I don't think so.
Before?
So they did all the East games at like 10 a.m. here, and then they had all the West games at 12:30. I liked it so much. You know why I liked it a lot? It felt like an NFL, like football Sunday, like 100%. Way more than like an NBA Sunday. Like, you know, me and my brother, we did our whole football tradition. We did mimosas. We were watching. It was a vibe. You know, I like having all the games going on at the same time. I don't know. I like this like format. They should try to figure out how to make more like regular season Sundays like this.
Absolutely. Especially after college basketball is all done. Like, you've got nothing that you're competing with. So why not just do this? It felt like an event. It felt like a reason to, you know, get together and celebrate. So the day started with the Eastern Conference. Do you want to go just like talk about whatever we watch? I know we both watched that Knicks-Bulls game in the Eastern Conference slate, then kind of talk about play-in situation in the East, and then we'll migrate over to the West in the second half of the episode.
Yeah, let's do that. So the East, obviously, we had this, like, you know, Knicks-Bulls game going on in contrast with this Bucks-Magic game that was going to decide the 2 seed. So the Knicks end up as the 50-win 2 seed. The Bucks are the 49-win 3 seed. The Cavs are the 48-win 4 seed. The Magic, 47-win 5 seed.
Did you see what these freaking Cleveland Cavaliers did?
What did they do?
I am so out on the Cavs. It's not even funny. So the Cavs, and I mean, it's always an option, but they were playing on Sunday the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, they lost.
Yeah. Were sitting nearly all of their players, and the Cavs looked at the scores going into the fourth quarter, and they sat all of their starters, all of their rotation players, led by Imani Bates. They like completely just shut down the regular season and decided to tank to lose that game so that they could play the Magic in the first round. And if that is not some loser ass bullshit, like, I don't know. You had a chance to get up to the 2, and I realize that the Heat and the Sixers were waiting there for you, but like, you're going to have to go through them either way. Like, what are you doing? Setting the table just, I don't know. Like, it's bad vibes, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they did finish the season 4-6. So it's not like this is a team that was really, you know, really getting it going and deciding to just, I mean, I guess they did decide to just do that. But I guess maybe the one prognostication I can guess of the whole argument of you're going to have to see them anyway is maybe they're just like, you know what? We are probably going to lose, but what if we win one round? Does that help Mitchell want to stay?
I'm
wondering if that's the one. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the smart move. I'm just wondering if that's the thought process. I mean, also, I mean, if I'm a Cavaliers player, I'd rather play the Magic than the Heat or the Sixers.
Totally. Like, I get it. But it's also just like no guarantee, you know?
But also, to your point, if they did get up to the 3 and they're playing the Pacers, I don't really hate that for the Cavs either.
No, and now when you're in that 4-5 matchup, you're on the same side of the bracket as the Boston Celtics. So, like, yeah, maybe you get past this young, great story Orlando Magic team in the first round. But then the biggest dog in the yard is waiting for you just on the other side of that fence.
Maybe, Patrick, what if they wanted to be in the yard with the big dog?
I mean, if that's what they want, I feel like they should come forward and say that, because right now I think they look scared and they look like a team that is about to lose their best player in the offseason.
Yeah. Wait, so, okay. So you want to, obviously we're going to focus more on the play-in games today. So I feel like you're boldly proclaiming you think the Magic are going to win this 4-5 matchup.
Okay, so did you watch any of that Magic Bucks game?
I did. I watched most of that game, yeah.
I mean, I've kind of loved just what the Magic have had for all year. They've just like They have such great energy. They have such an amazing defense. And I think Paolo is looking more and more and more like a 1A superstar, the kind of guy that you can build around in a real way where you can expect him later down the line to win not just two playoff series, but maybe eventually three, depending on who you have around them. And so I'm not going to make my pick for that matchup today, but I am leaning Orlando right now, especially because of what you said. Just the Cavs have kind of limped into this playoffs, like, and I think their defense hasn't been what it's built to be. Their rebounding really isn't there, and they're not going to have that size advantage, and they've struggled with big, bulky, physical teams like the Knicks last year. So I am kind of leaning that way. But they also just, you know, kind of kicked Milwaukee's ass, who fell all the way to the 3 seed.
Yeah, Milwaukee finished the season 3-7 in their last 10. The Cavs 4-6. The Magic 5-5. I mean, a lot of these, like, Eastern teams kind of, like, bleh, their way to the final. And then you look at the Sixers, 8-2 in their last 7 or last 10. The Heat 7-3 in their last 10. I mean, I don't know. Feels like some of the better teams are in the play-in. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely scary. So looking, did you have any takeaways from the Bucks at all, like the Bucks situation right now?
I mean, no Giannis. I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast where they talked about Giannis's table, and it seems like Giannis will probably be back in like a week from today around. So Giannis is probably going to miss like the first playoff game or two.
Yeah, Shams tweeted this morning that Giannis is rehabbing daily, but there's some real doubt about his status to begin this Pacers series.
Yeah, I mean,
which also, it's the Pacers after game ball gate.
I know. Well, the Pacers have kind of been the thorn in the Bucks' side this whole season. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this could get out of hand fast for the Bucks, because even though the Pacers, you know, 7-3 to finish the year, which is pretty strong, but over the second half of the season, definitely not as good as the first half. But, like, also, like, I don't know, if you steal two games in Milwaukee because Giannis is injured and he comes back, but all of a sudden you're down 0-2 and you're on the road, like, and you're the Bucks who've been kind of a mess all year, like, this kind of seems like a, I don't know.
It's scary. It's scary. Scary I'm not going to pick the Pacers, but like, I'm not going to act like I would be.
Would you pick the Pacers under those circumstances?
Maybe. If you're telling me Giannis misses two games, maybe. Okay. If he's only missing one, like, you're talking to a Suns fan who was told that Giannis might not play in the first half of the finals, and then he came and, like, Thanos snapped us away. So,
yeah,
I feel like I've seen this movie a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just going to repeat it because I feel like I've said it, but just, I know we're all looking at the standings and you see a 2 next to a team or a 7 next to a team, and it's like, it feels like a big gap, because normally there is a big gap between a 2 seed and a 7 seed, but Sixers 47 wins at 7, Knicks 50 wins at 2. Like, Pacers, Bucks, they're separated by 2 wins.
Yeah.
Like, these teams are all pretty equal in the East from that standpoint.
I think this is like a pretty interesting thing. So I looked at, ever since the NBA expanded their playoffs to 8 teams in each conference.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in 1984. 2 seeds are 6-72 in those series, and then 1 seeds versus 8 seeds are 5-73 in those series. And we just saw last year a 1 versus an 8 seed and an 8 seed come out on top, and then we also saw a 7 versus a 2 seed. I think with the play-in, with just everything that we've seen, the parity of this season and whatnot, this is kind of the year that's going to tell us definitively, like, what matters anymore? You know, does the regular season matter? Should we continue looking to historical comps for these first round matchups? Or is it kind of just all up in the air? Is it the wild, you know, west of just parity and talent in the NBA?
My hunch is we're just going to learn, as we have been learning, that the regular season matters less and less and less. That's my hunch.
Yeah. I mean, that could be very, very accurate. But I just feel like more than ever before, this is the year where we're really going to have some answers and enough data to start really parsing it out.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to these play-in games. So the first play-in game is going to be the Bulls and the Hawks.
Yes.
I feel like of the four play-in games we've got, this is probably the one, you know, I don't think anyone believes in either of these teams. I think, to put it lightly, you know, the Bulls put up a really good fight against the Knicks yesterday. Alex Caruso, man, that dude is awesome. Like, really
insane.
Giving Brunson a tough time in overtime. I think he scored 5 points, a three, and a putback. I mean, are we just going to pick? I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Bulls and Bulls South, but or was it Raptors South? Which one? I don't remember which team
they were. I think they can all kind of.
Yeah, is it Hawks together. North versus Hawks, or is it Bulls versus Bulls South?
I like
Bulls South versus Hawks North.
I actually feel like Toronto's got their own thing going on. They have a championship in the last 10 years. We can't group them in with this level of mediocrity. But I feel like it's kind of like, I kind of am not even thinking about it too much, and I'm just going Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pick the Bulls. They're the higher seed. They're going to have home court in this game.
The Bulls have a lot of talented NBA caliber players. Seems like vibes are like kind of good there. They had this big
I like that the Bulls can put Caruso on a team that plays a lot of heliocentric basketball now that Trey's back.
Totally. And the Hawks just still aren't really healthy too, which has been a huge theme of their season. So,
yeah. Bulls. Now, yeah. Let's talk about maybe one of the most fun, I would say probably the best playing game, which is Heat Sixers.
I would agree. I would agree.
We got my two of my teams.
Two of your teams.
I know.
How are you feeling?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like
seeing two of your children.
Yeah, I don't like seeing my children fight, you know. Of my children, I think the big 7 foot one with a sweet jump shot is probably gonna win.
Yeah.
Sixers, they get the home court in this game. I just imagine they're going to win. So the weird thing between these teams, I think we touched on it, but they played a couple weeks ago and the Sixers won, but the Sixers won despite losing the Embiid minutes pretty badly. I feel like if there's any coach to muck down an offense like the Sixers, it's going to be Spoelstra. But I'm just going to take the Sixers in this one game sample. I feel like they've been the second best East team all year when Embiid's been healthy. So I just think they're going to take it. I mean, Bam is an amazing defender. He's really good against these switchable teams. He's like tailor-made to play against the Celtics, but not really against the Embiid-type center.
No, I rewatched half of their last game against each other last night, and I just think it's such like a coup for the Sixers to be able to say, hey, Bam, you're this like incredible all-world defender who really thrives at like what you talked about, how switchable he is, how he can kind of be everywhere at once, and then drop Joel Embiid on the court. And it's like, just every bit of him has to be dedicated to stopping this guy. And that was two games back, Joel Embiid. Now I think Joel is starting to get more in shape. And, you know, the Heat just also have not been able to put it together all at once this season. We've seen some really great runs from Tyler Hero. We've seen some moments from Jimmy Butler. The Terry Rozier thing has been a super mixed bag. Yeah. And he's like low-key banged up right now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that Heat culture, you're not allowed to enter the playoffs healthy.
Yeah, of course. but like, you look at their point differentials for the last 2 weeks, and to your point, Philly's had the third best point differential in the league over the last 2 weeks, and Miami has had the ninth best, so it's not like they're slumping by any means. But I think good offense just beats good defense 99% of the time. And that's just kind of – and Philly has the first rated defense over the last 2 weeks as well. So
yeah, so I mean, I think that's going to be a really good game because I don't know. I think the Heat are going to ratchet it up again. I don't know. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the red wave coming.
Hey man, you've watched a lot more Miami Heat basketball this season than I have, but I have just not seen anything, my man.
Yeah, I mean, they're only four games back from the two seed, though, as messy as they've been.
I know, but we are also always talking to each other about how the East is complete trash.
Yeah, the East is complete trash. No, you're right. I can't.
You can make that argument in the West, though. You can make that argument in the West.
I think we both like the Sixers in that 7-8 game.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, look at us going chalk, 2-2.
I know.
In the 8-9, then, which would be Heat Bulls, I think we're both taking the Heat, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that will set up for a really
Low key, I will say there's an upset watch.
Okay.
Like anything can happen in one game. You've got what seems like, contrary to our beliefs, the guy that's going to win Clutch Player of the Year, DeMar DeRozan. Kobe White's had an amazing season.
They're going to give DeRozan Clutch Player of the Year?
I think so. Which is just crazy. But I think it's going to happen. I might be wrong. Hope
NBA,
I'm wrong.
NBA. Don't do that.
Yeah. Give the large Serbian man another award. He needs one.
Or Kyrie.
Well, I don't think Kyrie is eligible is the thing. Yeah.
Too clutch.
Too clutch to play in 65 games.
Yeah, fair to include him in the player pool. I feel like the clutch. That award is so weird.
It's so weird.
All right. Yeah,
there could be so many better awards than like, who's the clutchest player? Like, I really think like they did like a bit on this on Bill Simmons, but like, wouldn't it be more fun to have just like a most exciting player award?
Yeah.
Or just like a, I don't.
What about sexiest player alive?
Sexiest player alive.
I feel like we'd see some dude win it like 8 years in a row.
Bam Adebayo has won sexiest player alive 5 years
in a row.
Players that don't really care about winning would just start taking massive steps forward. They're like getting lip filler. Should we go to the Western Conference?
Well, I guess before we leave the East, assuming it breaks the way we think it will in the play-in and it's chalk, what is the first round matchup you'd be most excited for?
Ooh, let me pull it up. Do you have one on the top of your head?
Oh, I mean, Heat Celtics.
Yeah.
It's going to be super telling for both teams. Like, that's the thing. Like, if the Celtics just kind of go in there and handle their business, you know, you'll come in here and be like, I told you the Heat weren't that good. But I feel like if the Heat go win game one in Boston,
I know. I'll say
it's playing. Like, I feel like Celtics might go into like panic mode. Like, not again.
I mean, I got to be honest. I would love to see that. Even though it's contrary to what I think is going to happen, I am always here for the chaos.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. I mean, that's the most fun thing to happen.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's those two series, the potential Heat Celtics and the potential 76ers Knicks series are the two series that I would be most excited for in the East.
You know what I'm realizing? Obviously, it's not going to happen this way, Patrick. Is there like a real possibility that the lower seeded team wins in every East matchup? I'll exclude the Celtics Heat, but like Sixers Knicks, like healthy Sixers, you'd probably take over the Knicks. Injured Giannis, you probably take a 6 seed over the 3 seed there. And then Magic Cavs, I'd say, is a toss-up. They were 2-2 versus each other in the regular season.
I would say it's more of a possibility than ever any year in NBA history. It's more of a possibility this year. It's not going to happen, but it could happen.
Yeah, it could. All right, let's get to the West. And the West, you know, the second slate of games yesterday, the 12:30 slot, not as good of games, pretty much blowouts across the board.
Blowout city, but some very interesting developments. First, just a generational bag fumbling from the Nuggets on Friday night.
To lose
to the Spurs. And what a statement win from Wemby.
Yeah.
Like, I really think there's like energy behind that win that we could be talking about that game for, you know, the rest of Wemby's career as like, that was the first time we saw that, like, no matter what, he was a winner. He wanted to.
I have a Wemby stat that I kind of can't believe, and the film study explains why it's happening. So Wemby's shooting like 45% on like pull-up threes this year. But he's still like, you know, you look at his overall percentages and you're like, how is he not a good three-point shooter? It's because his catch and shoot's bad. But his catch and shoot threes are bad because his teammates like don't know how to pass to him. Like they'll pass at his like waist or his ankles, and he's like having to bend over while catching the ball so he can't get like a proper release. And it's like we're literally seeing this guy fight his own team to try to have to play the sport instead of just like, you know, having an NBA level point guard on his team.
And the crazy thing is, he's winning.
Yeah.
I feel like he's winning against his team's like better efforts to stop him. I mean, even the last, 2 weeks of the season, they didn't have Vassell or Sochan, which say what you will about Sochan, he's still one of the best five players on this team. Insane loss from the Nuggets, insane win from the Spurs. And that caused like this absolute bubbling up of chaos, three-way tie for the first seed between the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, and the Thunder. And once all the dust settled, your Oklahoma City Thunder end up in the first seed, which, wow, I like really, you called them as a really good team from the get-go. I was very pessimistic of what a team with a rookie center and just so much youth could do as far as seeding, especially in this West. And they came out and they did that thing. They got the first seed in the Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty high on the Thunder. I thought they were going to be a top three seed. I am kind of shocked they got the number one overall seed. That's crazy. Chet playing all 82 games. Shout out to Chet for that. That's pretty impressive too. Yeah, I mean, the Timberwolves actually, they lost to the Suns, so they're not a part of that three-way tie.
Yes, they did. Just saying. They got absolutely destroyed.
Sorry to interrupt you guys, but I'm seeing a Woj tweet about Devin Booker.
Is it that he has a huge dick and is about to...
Seriously, it's something about his hamstring? I need to check in really quick.
No way.
Yeah. Wait, let me see.
It's nothing.
He's kidding.
He's playing me. I get like Neuralink from Woj. I would know this.
You gotta know Patrick has Woj on alerts, I guess.
I do. You don't have Woj on alerts? I got Woj on alerts. I got Shams on alerts. I even got Mark Stein on alerts.
That's amazing.
Number one Thunder, number two Nuggets, number three Timberwolves. I mean, those have been the three best West teams all year long.
Yes, it's
kind of funny, though, going back to this Thunder thing, because during the beginning of the season, Patrick and I, we didn't really have a bet, but we kind of had this season long, like, I'm Team Thunder and Patrick's Team Timberwolves.
It was really last offseason.
But then, like, that Celtics Timberwolves game happened, like, what, a week into the season? And I was like, I love this Timberwolves team. And I kind of, like, abandoned the Thunder in our, like, little dichotomy. And I hopped on the Timberwolves bandwagon with you.
But I mean, both teams had been so fun. And now they are going to be rewarded with. The Timberwolves are going to be rewarded with the Phoenix Suns, who are playing the best basketball of their entire season right now.
Whoa. We're like a week removed from they lost that one, that Clipper game.
You were down in the dumps. I'm not saying I'm picking the Suns. Have not made a decision yet. But.
Wait, what do you mean you're not picking the Suns?
I haven't decided yet. Because I'm not forgetting about where I was last week when the Suns were down 35-4 in the first quarter to the Los Angeles Clippers.
So you're saying like in your objective mental bracket?
In my objective mental bracket, I haven't made a pick yet.
Okay.
I think the Suns are a terrible matchup for the Timberwolves. And I think as it goes, the Timberwolves are a pretty good matchup for the Suns. But one team has pretty much been the paradigm of consistency throughout the season, and the other one has been a paradigm of just dysfunction and chaos. But let's focus on the other two matchups.
The West versus the East is so hilarious this year because the Suns are, what are they, the paradigm of
inconsistency
and chaos with 49 wins. But the New York Knicks are this glowing success story with one additional win.
Well, isn't that crazy? That's what expectations do to you.
That's true. Expectations do.
You know, we were going into the season saying, like, the Suns have a real chance of being the best offense of all time. And have we seen that? Maybe in like five quarters all season, including the first quarter of yesterday's game. But
this really does make the OKC one seed even more impressive when you think about it. It's like how competitive the West is.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, like, so the Rockets were the 11 seed, and they had 41 and they were 41 and 41. I saw that the Rockets this year and the Warriors this year the best 11th and 10th seeds of all time.
There we go. There we go. I mean, and that's why these playoffs are so awesome. That's why you can look at every single potential matchup up and down. And it's almost must-watch TV.
So let's start with the first one, the 9-10. The Kings and the Warriors. The Kings are slumping. Herter's out. Malik Monk's out. This team is a team. This is a team that's been slumping. The Warriors have kind of been like the boogeyman for this team for a long time now.
Mm-hmm. The big brother up in the Bay.
Yep. And then the Warriors, you know, they're both at 46 and 36 as a record. The Warriors finished the year on an 8-2 run. The Warriors have looked really, really, really good.
Easily could have won that game against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
If ball
Curry decided to not take a contested floater three. That was, I don't know. Curry like brought them back in the last 2 minutes, and then in the last single minute, like, has brain malfunctioned on how to play like offensive basketball.
You can't say it was a bad shot because Curry took it, but also it was a bad shot.
It was a bad shot. He tried to take a Luka shot and not a Curry shot. He's gotta stay true to himself.
So I mean, I'm all on board for the Warriors being the overwhelming favorite in this matchup, but I will say it's weird. I don't know why.
It's in Sacramento. And I feel like one thing we learned from last year's Kings-Warriors series was that, because it went to seven, and they have a really hard time with De'Aaron Fox.
Yes, they do.
So in a single game sample where you're on the road, you know what? I got to put my foot down, Patrick. The Kings are going to win.
Wow. Wow. Well, I will say ESPN's matchup predictor gives the Kings a 54% chance to win this game.
I don't like that for me. I wanted to be on the other side of the coin.
So, but
I needed the dog factor.
Vegas has the Warriors as the favorite. So, depending on your projection, it's kind of all over the place. My thing is, this Kings team is just a completely different team without their guard depth. Malik Monk, we didn't choose him for sixth man of the year. But
he's really good.
That dude is a fucking baller.
Yeah.
Kevin Herter, he had a better three-point shooting year this year than he kind of had a letdown last year. But lineups without either one of those guys in the game for the Kings, not a huge sample size. The one with the most sample size is a lineup of De'Aaron Fox, Keon Ellis, Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, and Sabonis. That is in the 44th percentile of point differential. A really bad offense, 107.9 per 100 possessions, and then 107.6 on defense. I just don't think there's really enough talent there. If they were completely healthy, it would be a different discussion. But I got to take the pedigree. I got to take the Steph Curry. I got to take Draymond Green. And, you know, this Warriors team is better than last year's Warriors team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you add Pajemski, you add Trace Jackson Davis. You know, it feels like there's better vibes now, even with the whole Draymond conundrum. Is still better than the Poole vibes.
Yeah, Chris Paul as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Warriors are better than the Kings, but, you know, I once boldly proclaimed the Warriors weren't going to make the playoffs on this podcast. So I feel like I've been on like a heater this year with my predictions. So I have to uphold it.
You got to stick to your guns, and I respect that.
And then the other one, I mean, I don't want to be dismissive of the Pelicans, but the Lakers just owned this Pelicans team.
Let's talk about the game yesterday.
The entire Anthony Davis era. Like, that, do you remember the IST game between these teams?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday felt like that.
Yeah, because it really was like that. I mean, it wasn't as bad, but for whoever forgets, the Pelicans and the Lakers made it to the knockout round of the in-season tournament. Huge game first ever, I think, knockout round game. And everybody's kind of billing it as like, this is Zion, the biggest the Zion game of Zion's career. This is the Zion arrival game. And the Lakers ended up winning 133-89.
Yeah, it was one of the least competitive games of the whole NBA season.
The next game that the Lakers and the Pelicans met after that, it was on New Year's. And the Pelicans beat the Lakers by almost by 20 points. It was 109-129. That was a big response, but since then, it's been more of the same, especially yesterday.
Yeah, it's just the Pelicans are this weird team where they're built so well to take on like 90% of the NBA, where it's like rangy wings who have like great lateral quickness and they can hit threes and space you out on offense. And they're like big bruiser with like Valanciunas and Zion's like overwhelming size and strength. And it's like, the one team that doesn't work against is the team with Anthony Davis and the team whose primary wing initiator is LeBron, who's just like, oh, Herb Jones is a really good defender, but I could just, you know, walk toward the rim and I'm a little too strong for him to hold me back.
Yeah, and you think of the Pelicans in that way of like really their beef is what makes them a special team. But this team only shoots 65% at the rim in just normal time, which is 18th percentile in the NBA, which is obviously very bad. But then in games against the Lakers yesterday, they only shot 33% at the rim, which is just completely untenable. You look back to the in-season tournament game, they shot 33%. Again, it's just like such a bad matchup for Zion because the Lakers have the beefy wings and the Pelicans have the, you know, kind of like more Mikal Bridges-y, like wiry.
Yeah, wiry, lengthy defenders. Yeah.
That can really take guards out of the game. But when you have LeBron James look doing his best John Stockton impression, you can't really take your guards out of the game.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's the thing, though. They're kind of in such a damned if you do, damned if you don't position with LeBron, because either you load up on LeBron and he's going to dissect them with his passing like he did yesterday, or you try to let LeBron go one-on-one. But like, that just has not ever worked for this like whole era of Pelicans basketball. It's just never worked.
Yeah, I mean, the one place where they found a little bit of success yesterday is in transition. They were super efficient in transition, but they weren't able to get into a lot. But I felt like it was kind of noticeable on the rewatch that Zion was running in transition, but then more times than not would pull it back. And I think if the Pelicans have any chance of winning this game, it rests on their disruptive defenders getting in passing lanes, Jose Alvarado getting in passing lanes and getting this really destructive force in transition as much as possible. And if it becomes a half court offense showdown, they're dead shocked, in water.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate for the Pelicans to, you know, run into the Lakers here, but King James, you know, in a one game sample against, you know, a relatively young team that he's already had a lot of success against. I mean, I'm taking the Lakers and I'm taking LeBron James.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Lakers. There's really no argument to take the Pelicans at this time.
Yeah. So I guess the more fun matchup, though, is what happens if this goes the way we think it will, which is that the Pelicans lose and either the Kings win in my world or the Warriors win in your world, because we just saw the Pelicans beat the Warriors in a game that could have gone either way. And the Pelicans have kind of owned the Kings in the way that the Lakers have owned them. It's like this weird rock, paper, scissors, because the Lakers cannot beat the Kings. So they got really lucky avoiding them. Yeah, I guess I'd probably pick the Pelicans definitely over the Kings. But I guess my worry is, in a world where the Warriors beat the Kings and the Pelicans are coming off like back-to-back losses to the Lakers, like, just the psyche heading into that game, like, I don't know. But it is in New Orleans.
It is in New Orleans, and although the Pelicans won that last game, it was really close, I think you saw how effective Zion can be against the Warriors. The game plan might change a little bit. I think they tried to have Draymond floating a little bit more than maybe they had to. Zion could really like try to do the LeBron James thing of like hey, young fella, I'm stronger than you. I'm way smarter than you. And this is how the game is going to be played. Is it crazy that I hate to pick against the Warriors?
Yeah, in this I know what you mean.
I hate to pick against the Warriors.
I think if the Kings win the 9-10, I'll take the Pels. I think if the Warriors win the 9-10, I'll take the Warriors.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I'm leaning as well. The Pelicans could very well win.
Oh, yeah. I would feel way more less. I feel way less sure about that Pelicans Warriors hypothetical matchup than like the East ones that we were talking about mm-hmm. earlier.
It's just, I mean, like when you think about it, kind of taking the names away and just looking at like the builds of the players, the stats, like there's a very compelling reason why the Pelicans could kind of just run away with that game. But I don't know. And maybe you saw some of this in the stream. Yeah, great job in
Thank
the
you.
Stream this Friday for that Pelicans-Warriors
yes,
game.
Yes, I did do an alternate broadcast of the Warriors-Pelicans game. So I watched every minute of that one.
The Warriors are starting to have their swagger back a little
bit. Oh, yeah, 100%. I think the one worry for, like, that Pels game, and obviously CJ's a really good player, but man, CJ hit some big, tough shots in that game. But it was on the road. You know, maybe their role players will hit shots that they weren't hitting in that game. But I think the scary thing for the Warriors is I just feel like it's like one of those things where it's like if you just get a cold game from Klay, like it can kind of derail like everything.
Yeah, it's
because like
very
if
hard
Klay
to
just wasn't ice cold that whole Lakers series last year, like probably could have dragged it to seven or maybe one. I don't think so. But, like, Klay was so bad. Like, it's kind of hard. I don't know, but Klay's been playing a lot better.
I also, like I said before, I think this Golden State Warrior, I don't know if I said that on the podcast or before the podcast, but I think this Warriors team is a better version of last year's
team. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, with Trace, with Pajemski.
Pajemski, Chris Paul gives them really, really good minutes. Also, Chris Paul in New Orleans, like he kind of has their number here and there. I would take Golden State also because I just
the pedigree.
I want the pedigree, and I want to see Golden State
versus the Thunder.
Nuggets. That can't happen.
What a poor outcome for the Thunder. You get the one seed, and then it's like here's Steph Curry, and they're playing well.
Yeah, well, and we just had so many. Pretty much all of the Thunder Golden State games this year were so, so good. And there's also the weird, like, that was a rivalry at a time.
Yeah.
And this is kind of, it's weird that we still have the same Golden State core and the Thunder have torn it all down and rebuilt in the time where Golden State still is
dominant. Yeah. 46-36. They were a good team this year.
Yeah.
It's one of those, again, the seed. Just don't look at the seed. Just look at the actual record. There's a good team. Yeah, I mean, that would be a really fun West bracket. Thunder Warriors or Thunder Pelicans, I guess, in my world. Nuggets Lakers, the closest sweep of all time.
The closest sweep in NBA history, round two. Oh, my God. Mike Malone is licking his chops. He wants it so bad.
Do you think the Lakers can make it the closest five-game series of all time?
I mean, hey, look, I've been down on the Lakers this year, but they could make it a six-game series.
Yeah, I think so,
like,
too.
The Lakers are playing the best basketball they've played all year. LeBron James and Anthony Davis are both healthy, which they weren't last year. This Nuggets team is a worse version of last year's Nuggets team. That's not to say that they are not the prohibitive favorite, especially in the Western Conference, but they're a worse version of the team, you know, and they're depending on players that have not been depended on in playoffs past.
I don't know if they're worse, though.
Yeah, can you explain
why
they're
do you
worse?
Think they're worse? Because they lost Bruce Brown?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Bruce Brown, out. Jeff Green. I liked their ability to still play kind of two bigs at any time with Aaron Gordon and Jeff Green. Last year, which they don't have the ability to do this year. I'm not saying it's like this huge like gap between last year and this year's team. I just think it was a little bit more reliable. Like Peyton Watson has been awesome at moments in this season, but I think what you knew what you were getting from Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown has more on-ball equity than a guy like Peyton Watson had, which I think is really valuable, especially in playoff time, especially when you're looking at a guy like Reggie Jackson, who is like kind of the king of inconsistency of like, you're our backup guard behind Jamal Murray. It's going to be great. I don't think it's a huge gap, but I do think there is a gap.
I think I'm a little higher on Watson than you. I think he gives them a higher ceiling than Brown did. He's got some crazy like acrobatic finishes, and like he had that one game, was it against the T-Wolves or something, where he spiked it off the backboard like a chase down block. He's
awesome.
Kind of getting these. He's like molded himself into the perfect Jokic compliment the way Brown did.
Are pretty bright in the playoffs, though. That's all I'll say.
Ooh.
The lights are super bright in the playoffs.
We'll get him a pair of sunglasses. And we'll roll on.
And he could completely prove me wrong, and that'd be fine. But I had seen Bruce Brown perform in the playoffs before. I saw him do it. Like their fourth most important player in last year's run. He was amazing for them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like their whole starting five is so good. I don't know if I could put him ahead of anyone in the starting five.
KCP's ears.
He was even closing some games.
He was.
For them. Yeah. Which I don't know if they're going to get to a point where they want that from Peyton Watson. They might, but I wouldn't bet on that. But, I mean, hey, the Nuggets are great.
Yeah,
I'm not saying the Nuggets aren't great.
We'll dive into the 2-7 when we find out what it actually is. Our Thursday pod will be the much more in-depth what we think of each matchup. All right, so those are our playoff, play-in winners.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. I'm ready for the playoffs. Finally, the Yoffs are here.
The Yoffs have arrived.
I think one series we need to touch on just a little bit. Maybe not like a deep dive, though, but we got the Foul Trouble Civil War.
Yes, we do.
Patrick Suns. Max's Timberwolves.
He's flipping me off.
Max just flipped off Patrick.
Yeah, bring it.
I showed him.
We're not scared of you guys. Max, I want to start with you. How are you feeling? I kind of said how I'm feeling. How are you feeling about this Suns Timberwolves grudge match?
We've had some rough games against y'all this year. So
yeah, actually, zero wins.
Yeah.
Against the Phoenix Suns.
Zero.
And tough losses.
Yeah, and the Suns have kind of spanked you every single
time.
Too
tough for Gobert.
I mean, that's the thing is that, like, statistically, I would love to hear your breakdown of Nurkic versus Gobert and why.
I mean, I haven't pulled any stats for this matchup just yet.
Yeah.
I feel like one thing that I noticed watching yesterday is Nurkic has this like big, wide, low center of gravity. And Gobert, even though he is big and strong, just because of his like height and I think more balanced proportions, like Nurkic can kind of like bully him a little bit on the boards.
Absolutely.
Just in terms of positioning. And I think that's what kind of hurts Gobert in that matchup a little bit.
And it's like Gobert can't abuse Nurkic the way he does a lot of teams.
Yeah, I feel like this year Gobert got a lot better at like actually being able to like, oh, I have someone who's not that big on me, like I'll actually score this time.
Yeah,
he definitely got way better at that this year,
for sure.
And that is not only apparent on the boards; it also leaks into finishing. Obviously, Nurk is not the best finisher at all,
right.
But when Rudy Gobert has to deal with that much girth going at him, his finishing also falls. The whole series, I think, really falls into, you look at Kat and what is Kat doing on defense?
Yeah, I feel like obviously
that KD cover is tough for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a weird matchup because like you said, the Suns have kind of owned it. But if you told me like, what's a team construction that I feel like would be really good against the Suns? I'm like, well, maybe the team with like two absolute lockdown wings.
Yeah, well, I was going to say also we played Jaden on KD sometimes too. So, and I feel like he can guard him pretty well.
It just feels like the Timberwolves offense just needs to,
that's my main concern right now, is that like I couldn't watch the game yesterday, but there was a stretch of time in the third quarter where we didn't score for like, it seemed like 10 minutes. And yeah, there's just some possessions where it's like, if Ant isn't having a crazy game and we're not getting enough. Like, Mike Conley has been super consistent, getting 15, 16 points a game. But we need somebody. We need Naz Reid. We need Ant. We need somebody to take a huge, like, dominant presence in the game in order to have a chance.
It just feels like when the Timberwolves are having a good game, it's like a lot of drive and kick. But then when it's like when Ant's not getting it going at the rim and the driving kick's not working as well, it's like the whole offense just crumbles.
And I mean, I think the what the Suns have done to like great success so far against the Timberwolves is they really pack the paint.
Yeah.
So, and it's like, come on in, like try, like say what you will about the Suns, they have length, especially in their rotations. Like this is a series where the Suns will be able to play Bol Bol, which isn't amazing, but at least they can play him without like really being like that worried. This is a series where they can play Yusuf Nurkic, and they're going to play Yusuf Nurkic huge minutes for a shallow team like the Suns. That's huge to be able to say, like, we definitely can play, you know, nine of these guys. And then, I mean, for the Jaden McDaniels thing, Jaden McDaniels, hypothetically, is a really good cover for KD. But in practice, KD is still KD.
Sure.
And has kind of abused him throughout the regular season matchups. And the same thing, like, Mike Conley, just, you gotta hide him against the Suns' big three. Like Beal will torch him, Devin will torch him, KD obviously will torch him. And then it gets down to like offense versus defense, and like say what you will about the Suns, they are tough shot makers even with somebody draped all over them. And like, is that what you want from Ant? Do you want to ask Ant, hey, we need you to cover Devin Booker throughout this whole playoff series?
Yeah.
And we need you to have like a 40% usage rate. That is a tough ask, which makes it a tough series. But, you know, there's
that's the build of the team. Yeah, is that's like the build of the team. Kind of shown he can be that guy throughout the season. So he's just got to keep it up.
The thing that concerns me is that Ant specifically, like, whether we win or we lose, it seems like the third quarter is when he activates into Ant mode. And sometimes that's to great effect. Sometimes that wins us the game. But what happened, like in the Suns, not this last Suns game, but the one before that, is y'all just got so far ahead in the first half that it didn't matter if Ant activated in the third quarter. It's like too late by that point.
The Timberwolves are like a football team that like has to play ahead of the chains. Like they have to get 4 yards on first
down.
That's
a really great.
Because if they're like at 3rd and 12, like they're going to have to punt it.
Yeah.
Well, and to that point, one thing that I noticed for the Timberwolves where you can easily like scheme a little to give yourself a better chance is Cat's got to just fire threes against the Suns. Yeah. Like I don't care if they're contested. Yeah. Like he's most likely going to be shooting over someone. I mean, unless it's KD, but you can play with the cross matches. He's most likely going to be shooting over someone smaller than him. And like if I'm Chris Finch, I'm asking Cat to shoot, you know, 15 threes a game. Yeah.
Get ready for a lot of top of the key threes from Kat this series.
But you look at yesterday's game, they had everything to play for. And I think Kat shot 4 threes the entire game.
Yeah, it's tough because Kat's only his second game back, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of tough because he's getting reintegrated into everything they're doing. But that's going to be a battle. I'm excited to do a little bit of a deeper dive into it on Thursday. I'm excited you guys are steering clear of my teams.
Yeah. Hey, we're excited your teams steering clear of ours.
But be ready, because whoever wins this matchup is playing one of my Nuggets or my Lakers.
Give it to me.
You mean the Nuggets.
Yeah, I think the Nuggets are going to beat either of you guys. You know, let's check in on the team I couldn't stop talking about all season, just because I feel like this is the playoff matchup we've known about for the longest. But Mavs-Clippers, I'm so excited.
Gun
to your head, who are you picking?
Top of my head, I'm picking Mavs.
Same.
Top of my head, I'm picking Mavs.
We can change our minds by Thursday when we do our deep dive, but I am so ready for Luka revenge season.
Yeah. Well, okay. So on the Hoop Collective today, they had Om Young-Masuk, who is the like Clippers guy for ESPN. And he said everything that he's heard, they will have Kawhi back. That doesn't mean they'll have Kawhi back. That just makes it seem like he's probably coming back. He hasn't played in 3 weeks. Both teams have basically a week off. They're going to be playing on Sunday. God, I hope Kawhi is back for this matchup. I want to see these two teams go at each other full strength. The Mavericks have had the best defense for the last, you know, 2-3 weeks. Luka's been playing at like an absolute madman.
Kyrie's been playing like an absolute madman.
But I mean, still, everyone talks about how Luka has like averaging like 35 points a game against the Clippers throughout his career. Kawhi, he's averaging 32 points a game against the Mavs. Like, this is an old-fashioned NBA rivalry showdown. Number three in the series. Like, oh, I could not be more excited for this matchup.
Yeah. All right. Should we get to best take, worst take?
Let's get to best take, worst take.
All right. I didn't have a best take this week. I got to wait for these playoff takes to trickle in.
Yeah. My best take was, it was kind of a little bit of a joke take because I just thought it was funny. Did you see Gigi Jackson's Victor Wembanyama comments?
What did he say?
He said, Wemby is so high in the air, so when he trash talks, it sounds like he's whispering. He was like, go back up. You scared. which you guys got to, I'm not doing it justice. But it was a really funny moment in the interview post-game of a Memphis Grizzlies and Spurs matchup that happened last week.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how Gigi's going to like be a part of the non-hospital Memphis team next year.
I'm excited. What a find for them. He's been so awesome this year.
He has been. My worst takes got to go to Kenny Smith, who had a barrage of just god-awful takes on TNT. One that Luka shouldn't be on the All-NBA first team. That Jalen Brunson, who is the best player in the Eastern Conference, which, by the way, not taking anything away from Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's awesome. Yesterday, legendary stuff from Brunson. But Jalen Brunson is not better than Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, I had both of those on my...
Docket.
I wanted to shout out Brandon Jennings. Did you see his recent take? He announced his top five scores in NBA history, in which he listed Michael Jordan
himself,
Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant. You would think Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, those four, whatever. I like top five scores in NBA history. I'll take it. The fifth member on his top five, Michael Beasley. You didn't think I was going to say that name, did you?
NBA players are the worst basketball analysts, and it's not close.
Timberwolves, Suns, and Heat legend, Michael Beasley.
W take.
Yeah. My last
worst take
nominee that it's not the winner, but I needed to bring it up, goes to my guy, Bill Simmons. Love you, Bill. But he tweeted yesterday during the Suns Timberwolves game, oh no, the Suns went up big early and talked shit to Ant. Story developing. Well, the story developed, Bill, and the Timberwolves lost by 20 points. Anthony Edwards was a minus 21 with 5 turnovers and 13 points. Thank you, Bill Simmons, for putting that into the ether.
Hey, but the tweet would have been so hard if it actually did develop.
It would have been.
That is a risky tweet to put out there.
Yeah. Especially, and I got to say, I was looking at the Suns' fourth quarter net rating stats yesterday.
Of course you were. That's what you do every Sunday.
Like Max's free time, you know, he's out having fun. You know, I'm like working at my house or playing video games or, you know, drinking mimosas. And Patrick is like furious.
In a dark bedroom, shades drawn.
So, of course, negative 11 in the fourth quarter net rating wise throughout the season. Worst all time. But post All-Star game. Their net rating in the fourth quarter
negative 10.
Is only negative 2.4, which is 22nd. And then you look at the last 10 games of the season. Remember, the Suns' 10-game stretch at the end of the season was the toughest 10-game stretch since 2015-2016. So hard. Suns went 7-3, and their fourth quarter net rating, plus 7.7, the eighth best in the association. Just needed to bring that
super
up.
Super team numbers.
But my...
can't wait for the Timberwolves to just eclipse the Sun.
Yeah, I hope this is like a sweep. Where the sun's blowing the first quarter.
Get out of here. Shut. That's not what you want. That's not what you want. You want you and Carl Anthony Towns to be dancing and Rudy Gobert to be like dancing with each other into the second round.
Right. I don't know if I want that. I do like seeing Rudy get triggered by Jokic, though. It's really funny.
He just wants he's thriving on the schadenfreude of my son's melting down. And he wants the content of me to just absolutely lose my mind.
I do think that Rudy and Jokic genuinely do not like each other. So that is kind of fun.
Yeah. That is a fun matchup. You know what? You know what? Before we pick the worst take, why don't you guys plant your flag on an East team? I'll let you guys have a second team.
You know, back in the day, when the Suns were owned by Robert Sarver, I lovingly referred to the Knicks as Suns East.
Okay.
Because both teams were awful and they had the two worst owners in the NBA. So I will plant my flag on the New York Knicks.
Knicks Nation. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, I always say that Miami is my number two team, but
join us.
I just don't feel it this year. I want to pick a team that actually is going to go far in the playoffs. my girlfriend's a Celtics fan. I guess I'll pick the fucking Celtics.
There you go.
You don't sound happy about it.
I'm not. I'm really not. I hate Jason Tatum's little Kobe antics.
That's good reasoning, though.
Yeah. All right. Worst take. Are we going Kenny? Which one are you officially nominating?
The Kenny take that I had pinned was the Luka Doncic not making first team.
Yeah, I think that's the worst of the week.
So yeah, let's go with that. But Brandon Jennings, any other week you were so man at the top. That Michael Beasley take is absolutely insane. But you said it to the right podcast.
It like blows my mind, like the way all these like high level basketball players think like the repertoire of skill is more important than the actual results.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, there's no big man in his top five scorers ever. He doesn't think a single big man is one of the best scorers ever. You know what, Brandon Jennings, I'll tell you what. I'll guarantee you if Hakeem Olajuwon played 1v1 versus any of those five guys, he would fucking win.
Yeah. I don't think let alone, what about Joel Embiid?
Yeah, like, in a 1v1.
What about Jokic?
Yeah, like, in a 1v1? Like, come on.
Nah, I'm taking Michael Beasley.
All right, that was the Foul Trouble Podcast. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.